The city was once considered the most important Greek city and the most important trading center in the Mediterranean region. It was located in a very fertile valley. It was known as a city of culture and commerce, very metropolitan city. Throughout history, Ephesus survived multiple attacks and changed hands many times between conquerors. It was also a hotbed of early Christian evangelism and remains an important archaeological site and Christian pilgrimage destination. The city played a vital role in the spread of Christianity. The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time in Ephesus. He started the church there during his second missionary journey, and during his third missionary journey, he spent 3 years there preaching and teaching and establishing the church until he was forced out because of his teachings. The Church of Ephesus became one of the seven churches in the Western Asia Minor region and was included in the churches addressed by Jesus in the book of Revelation. And so I just wanted to give a little backdrop on where the Ephesians lived, okay? Amen. Now, I know that we're not going to get through all 14 of these verses tonight. I already know that, but I do want to read them anyway. Ephesians chapter 1, because this is where we're going to be the next couple of weeks. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And I don't know about you, but just reading it really encouraged my heart. So I pray tonight that you all are going to be encouraged as well. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. So in verse 1, some things jumped out at me. Something jumped out at me. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. By the will of God. It appears if you read anything about church history, even in actual scripture, there seemed to be some indication that Paul's authority was not readily accepted among the Christian brethren. Is that right, Bishop? So, when I read that line as I was preparing for class, by the will of God, I said, Paul, you were giving them, you were saying some stuff right there by the will of God, and it just jumped up in my spirit that a lot of them had a problem with the Apostle Paul, and I want to kind of talk about that as we are diving into this study. So even though Ananias in Acts chapter 9 had this vision of who Apostle Paul was, they weren't ready to receive him. So I want us to look at all of this, okay, because I think it's going to give us a good picture. I want to paint the picture for us. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, oh Jesus, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. O-M-G. Okay. So does anyone know? Okay. Saul. We all know that his name was changed to Paul, right? After his Damascus Road experience. But it is said that the first mention of Saul is in Acts chapter 7. I want us to have a good foundation of who this brother was. Okay? So in Acts chapter 7, the deacon Stephen was preaching. Okay? And in that sermon, and on your own time, please go back and read Acts chapter 7. It's just amazing the way that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was giving it to Stephen. In that particular portion of scripture. But he started from the beginning with Abraham on down through the generations to Joseph and Moses, even through the building of the temple. And then he rebuked the crowd for being rebellious like their ancestors had been. And they got offended at Stephen to the degree that the scripture says in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, Now when they heard this accusation and understood its implication, they were cut to the heart and they began grinding their teeth in rage at him. This is the deacon Stephen. And they grabbed him, took him outside of the city and stoned him. And in verse 58, they cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet whose name was Saul. Okay? So all of this is important to me. I want us to have a good understanding of who Saul was before his encounter with Jesus. Amen. So if this is truly Saul of Tarsus, a couple of chapters later, we pick up what he was doing to those early Christians. Okay? And in verse 1 of Acts chapter 9, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Now, before they called themselves Christians, they called this lifestyle of following Jesus the way. So that's what that is in verse 2. If he found any of this way, anyone who was a follower of Jesus. Okay, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Wow. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, Jesus was already ascended into heaven. This is not on my notes, but it's popping out to me right here. Jesus had already ascended into heaven, but he told Saul, You are persecuting me. What does that mean to us? Saul was going, he was rounding up Christians and killing them and bounding them and taking them to prison and all of that. But when Jesus appeared to him on the road, he said, You are persecuting me. But Jesus was in heaven. Yes, ma'am. The association between us as the body Those body of believers, Jesus was saying, you're persecuting, you, when you do it to them, you are doing it to me. Is that amen?
Amen.
Okay. So verse 6, and he, Paul, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Okay. So no wonder Brother Ananias was like, wait a minute. We have heard what this man Saul is doing to your people. Amen. And no wonder they did not trust him at first. It could have easily been a trap, right? It could have been a trap. But that's why Jesus appeared to Ananias, to let him know, to let him know in that dream, and gave him the instructions. So let's go back to Brother Paul's apostleship. So he says, apostle, an apostle by the will of the Lord, okay? So, while there was obvious some who were suspicious of Paul, God always has a witness. God always has a witness. And I know, and I'm driving this point home for a reason, because it's not just about Paul tonight. It's about us as well. There may be some who were suspicious of him, but God always has a witness. And in Ananias' vision, that is a witness for us. Again, in Acts 9, in 15, he tells him, the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he, talking about Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And isn't that what he ended up doing? So let me ask you, why is it important for believers to know who sends them and know their purpose? Why is that important? Amen. 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 So Sister Shannon, let me make sure I'm hearing you right. So if we don't know that God sent us and what our vision is or what our purpose is, it's easy to turn or walk away from it. Because other people may not believe you. They may try to discredit you. They may say who you think you are. Right? But you have to know that God sent you and what God told you to do. And when I was studying, immediately my mind went to our own bishop. You know, he's in Kansas City in the early 70s. The Lord speaks to him, go back to Springfield, where he was not trying to come back to. He was not trying to come back here. Amen. But the Lord spoke to him. And there were those around him who were like, what are you doing? Right? Even when he got here, and you have, many of you have heard his testimony, they didn't want him here. But if he had listened to that, rather than what God had placed on his heart, where would any of us be?
Yes, right.
Is that a man?
Yes.
Yes, Sister Carolyn.
It reminds me, too, if you don't stand for something, then you want to fall for anything.
Yes, ma'am.
So you have to know that you know that you know.
Amen.
So you can't stand and know exactly what your purpose is.
Yes.
So reminding me of that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
You know, instead of knowing for yourself.
That is very true, Sister Carolyn. Knowing for yourself, if you don't know for yourself, you can just fall for anything that the world or the enemy or whoever tries to throw your way. That is so true. So many of these people would probably disqualify Paul at this point, right? Like, they know his track record. They know what he had been doing. They know what he had been doing to their peers, to their colleagues, to their brothers and sisters. Many of them would have disqualified him from serving the Lord in this capacity, but God, right? But God. If it had been left up to people, he probably would have never done what Jesus had commissioned him to do. And I want that to sit on all of us tonight. I want it to sit on us tonight. So God uses those in authority to confirm and bear witness to what he is doing in our lives. But that doesn't mean he's going to spend a lot of time going from person to person to person to person to person, letting everybody know. Letting everybody know his plan. I thought it was so interesting that Jesus, the scripture does not give us any indication that he chose to speak to any of the apostles who actually walked with him about Paul at this time. It didn't say he went to Peter and told Peter to meet him down there. He didn't talk to John even to tell him to go meet him down there. He chose to talk about someone named Ananias. And I want us to stop and think about this. It does tell us his name, and we know that this is not the same Ananias that had lied to Peter, because that man died a few chapters earlier. Okay, so this is not the same man, but the scripture describes him as a disciple. It didn't say prophet. It didn't say apostle. It didn't say elder. No label of quote-unquote authority at all. Simply disciple. The Lord chose to speak what we might consider a no-name person, one of the most important word of wisdom, word of knowledge examples in the New Testament. A simple disciple. He didn't send John. He didn't send Peter. He didn't send any of the ones who walked with him for 3 years. He sent a disciple that none of us probably even really think about outside of this particular text, right? Gave him the assignment to go down and commission the one who will be called the Apostle Paul, one of the major influences of the early church. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Yes, Deacon. Yes, sir.
But we in our natural self, like Sister Black was saying, it makes it kind of hard sometimes to, you know, is this really what I'm supposed to do? Is this what the Lord wants me to do?
Right, right.
The Holy Spirit, when it speaks to us, you know, we have to recognize that and then walk by faith.
Yes.
Even though we can't see what it is that we are. Like the bishop coming to faith, mm-hmm. See ahead.
Come on.
Be in front of
him. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that an important piece right there, Deacon Willie? Even though you can't see what's ahead, right? Ananias knew the voice, right? Because he said, Lord, here am I. So he knew that it was actually the Lord talking to him. It wasn't no, is that the Lord or is that me? Or is that sausage I had last night? It was none. He knew exactly that it was the voice of the Lord. And even though he was probably very nervous, scared, Bishop said, amen. I was trying to make it pretty. Bishop said, no, scared. He was probably trembling, knowing this man's reputation and what he was empowered to do. He had the authority to go and round up all these believers. But at the word of the Lord, even though he couldn't see how this made any sense, wow. Wow. Sister Linda, did I see your hand up? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Is this helping anybody? Because it sure is blessing me. Okay. So when I looked at this and I looked at who Ananias was and how the scripture described him, I said, okay, God, so never again in anyone in here play ourselves small or insignificant or who am I to do that? Who am I to say that? Right? Because listen, again, he chose, out of everyone he could have chosen, he chose this no-name person. Well, he gave us a name, but you know what I mean. Unpopular, not celebrity person to commission one of the greatest people in the early church. That's like God telling me to go up and pray for T.D. Jakes or somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? Billy Graham or somebody. It's just some no-name out the back of the corner. Right? Wow. Wow. So, I'm just a disciple, Sister Regina. But guess what? As Sister Linda touched on this, Bishop can't go everywhere. Right? The deacons can't go everywhere. The ministers can't go everywhere. It is becoming on all of us to find our place and operate there. Does that make sense? He can't be in multiple places at the same time. He shouldn't have to be in multiple places at the same time. Right? Maybe the Lord is trying to tell some of us, go over there and pray for her. Go visit somebody in the nursing home. Go, you know, bake somebody a cake. It is incumbent on all of us. Does that make sense? Okay. God is always looking for some disciples to send on his behalf. So what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Mm-hmm, I'm asking. Yes, ma'am. Anybody?
A follower of Christ.
Yes, a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ. A disciple is a dedicated follower of Jesus. A disciple learns from the teacher and then helps teach others. Right? So I'm not just gaining a whole bunch of head knowledge, but I'm learning and I'm sitting at his feet and I'm learning how he moves and allowing him to teach me how he talks to me so that when I'm out in the midst of people, he can use me to teach other people. Does that make sense? Okay. And I think we have some disciples here tonight because why else would any of us be in here during a pandemic? Other than we want to know what the Lord is saying to us. Amen. Not that we're quote-unquote special or quote-unquote more faithful, you know, all that lingo that we use. No, we've just decided we want to hear what the Lord has to say to us. We want to be true disciples. Amen. Okay. Yes, Bishop.
God could have told Paul at the time when he was laying there on the ground, but God uses us.
That's good, Bishop.
Paul was a great man, yes, but God used insignificant people to get him around.
Wow.
Folks say,
No, Bishop, please don't stop yourself. Obviously, we need to hear it. Please continue.
All the people that God used to get Paul in line, first thing, you realize that Paul gave his resume in the scripture. He was taught. So he had good foundation. He had information, but he had no revelation.
Okay.
A lot of us, we got DDs, PhDs, and all that good information. But if you don't have the revelation, you're still missing the mark. You don't get what God is trying to do. And this is what God did, had to do with Paul. Because now he was a Pharisee. I mean, he knew the law. But what God was trying to show him was it was veiled. Christ was veiled in the law. Now, he couldn't have done anything but what he was doing, persecuting the church, until the veil was lifted.
Wow.
And he had the revelation that God was sending through the Peter and James, John, these men that were unlearned, but they had the understanding, they had the revelation. And until then, you're still, you're fighting what you should be embracing.
Wow.
So God used all of these different people, and then you see when Paul got out, when he was converted on the road, he still didn't have the information. He had information, but he didn't have the revelation. And so he goes to see Ananias. Okay, so he went to see him. He told him a little bit. After that, God sent Paul into a desert place there for a long time to give him the revelation of what he thought he knew. And it was after that that he came out and began to preach the revelation. And that's what everybody was against.
Yes.
The Jews, they never accepted him because this was Christ. And they rejected Jesus Christ, just like Paul was doing, taking people, the church people, to prison and putting them away because that's the way they saw it. But when the light was turned on, Paul was going just the opposite way, and that made everybody mad with him that went with him. With this, had a difficult life.
Yes, yes.
But he was okay with it, went through all the hell that was along with it, because if you go with God, you're going to suffer. The Lord spoke to me the other day when I was going through such a hard time. He said, well, this is what you volunteered for. When you accepted Christ, you accepted his person, everything that goes with him. You know, stop whimpering and crying about it, because that's all part of it.
Wow.
If you don't suffer with him, you can't reign.
Wow.
So I'll learn to keep my mouth shut and just go ahead and suck it in. Because there's a lot of stuff,
yes, sir,
that you have to go through. But you do it because you are a part of the body of Christ. And just like they rejected Christ, they'll reject you.
Amen.
So no point in getting upset about it, because
Bishop,
that's part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
When you identify with Christ, you are identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
So it's no big deal that you go through high water. That's part of what we do.
Wow. Wow.
And God is going to reward us if we hold out.
Amen.
Only the overcomers will receive the rewards.
Yes, sir.
No overcoming, no reward. You're going to have some problems. That makes you who you are. That tells the world who you identify with. So we can't complain because we go through.
Mm.
So get tougher all the time.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen, Bishop. Wow. Wow, okay. So when Bishop said God could have told him while he was laying there on the ground, blinded, what Ananias was going to say, but he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose to do it through Ananias. Amen. Praise God. So as I was saying, you know, all of us have to bear the burden of this thing. It's not just on Bishop. It's not just on the deacons. Does that make sense? So I've been praying a lot, and I know a lot of you have, you know, about our own church and asking God some things relating to our church and asking God to speak to the hearts of the people in our church, you know, to do what it is that God has told them to do, you know. And you know, God has given a vision to Bishop, and he's told us what that vision is. So our part, you know, what the Lord revealed to me in 2018, and I've shared this once before with you guys, but I'll share it again, especially since we're recording, that when God gives the bishop the vision, and then Bishop brings the vision to us, it doesn't just stop there. We then take that back to God in prayer and say, okay, God, this is what Bishop said. You gave the vision you gave him. What is my part? Does that make sense? And so, and it's just a bit, you know, it's just a complete circle at that point, because then he's going to tell all of us what our part is in that big picture. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. So as pastor of our church, Bishop needs someone who can hear the voice of God and who will be willing to be obedient and submissive, hallelujah, to help perform the work of the ministry. And God wants to send the help. He wants to send the help. He's not sitting up there, oh no, I'm not going to do it. No, he wants to send the help, but we have to be like Ananias and say, behold, I'm here, Lord. Yeah. I'm here. So just for a moment, and I might be preaching to the choir, but for the sake of just following what I feel the leading of the Lord is, that's what I want. I just want us to stop a moment and say, Lord, here am I. Your servant hears you, God. I want all of us to say that. God, here I am. Here I am, God. I'm listening for your command, God. What is it that you would have me to do? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, what has the Lord been impressing on your heart? You know, before, you know, you thought before you might need a fancy church title. No, you don't. Ananias didn't need a fancy church title. He heard and he got up and went. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. I know we're only in verse 1, friends. I am aware. But we're going to go on to verse 2. Okay. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And really quickly, as we get ready to close tonight, it appears to me that the Apostle Paul opens this letter to the church at Ephesus, the congregation there at Ephesus, with a salutation that would bring a sense of comfort. When you are going through trials, when you're going through turmoil, you know, someone calling you, someone sending you a text, someone sending you a letter in the mail or a card or an email or whatever, just to encourage you. That does so much to lift people's spirits. And it's not a lot. But when you, especially that moment that you just knew you were about to give up, and God have somebody, you know, touch their heart and send you a card, send you a text. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. How you doing? Right? It helps us to know that God really does see us. And it encourages us. Amen. So it was like, for me, it was like he wanted them to know from the very beginning that his purpose was to pronounce and announce a blessing on the church. So in the Amplified Version, it says, "Grace to you and peace, which is inner calm and spiritual well-being from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, between Bishop and Pastor Mark, you know, they're teaching on grace. I'm not even going to try to delve into that. It's a staple teaching around here. Amen. But I will say in a nutshell, grace is God's undeserved favor and God's ability to help us do whatever we need to do in life. And I love, love, love Joyce Meyer's definition. I think I put that on your paper. God's undeserved favor and his power that enables us to do with ease what we could never do on our own with any amount of struggle or self-effort. Praise God. Praise God. So I want to ask you, can you name something that you know God empowered you to personally do, to personally accomplish? You can look at your life and say, I know God gave me the strength, gave me the power to do that thing. Can you think of something? Amen.
To pray.
Amen. Because sometimes you don't want to. Sometimes you don't feel encouraged. Sometimes you don't feel like your prayers are getting past the ceiling. Amen. Praise God. I remember sitting on that row, that second row over there, maybe that third or fourth chair, in about 2013-ish. And the choir and the praise team was singing the rafters down. And I sat there and I said, Lord, I know you see me. I can't do this. I can't do this. It was about a year or so after my divorce, and I was just a mess on the inside. I was smiling at y'all, but I was a mess on the inside. I said, I can't do it. And I'll never, ever forget. I was sitting there. I didn't say it out loud. I said it within myself. I said, God, I can't go no further. And Sister Mia, I don't know if you remember Sister Mia. She came, and she sat next to me and put her arm around me. I said, God, you heard me.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? I didn't say, I wasn't sitting there. I was just sitting.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to her to come over and encourage me. Praise God. We don't ever know what anybody is going through. Besides, you know, outside of them rolling in the floor and spitting, you know, most people, you don't know the inner turmoil they may be going through. That's why it's so important that we are sensitive to hear what the Lord is saying to us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we're talking about that empowerment God gives us to do something that we know that we couldn't do on ourselves. And we have spent a lot of time here on Wednesday nights in former series, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the armor of God, explaining and understanding that those things are shared with us by God. There's nothing that we can work up ourselves. We can't give it to ourselves. It's truly, truly something that the Holy Spirit has to produce in us and work in us. So it appears that the Apostle Paul is from the top letting the reader know, you have favor, right, that in you, in yourself, you do not deserve, number one. And you have his power working on the inside of you to do whatever you are called to do. From the jump, I'm telling you, you have undeserved favor. And you also have the power of God to do and accomplish anything that he is requiring of you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And in that verse number 2, he declares peace to the church. Anybody need some peace today? Hallelujah. Amplified describes peace there in that verse as inner calm and spiritual well-being. But look at what the Greek word for peace is in this verse. It means peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, and to set at one again. It's resetting. It's bringing everything into order. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So Paul's salutation here, I believe, is a perfect setup for us to receive what he's going to begin to share with us later on in chapter 1 as he introduces the concept of spiritual blessings. Praise God. And that's where we're going to pick up next week. I didn't want to even dare try to go beyond that because I knew that all of that was going to be pretty meaty. So we'll pick up there again on next week, and we'll move a little quicker now. But I wanted us to make sure we knew who Paul was, what his MO was, what his background entailed, and who he was as the founder of this Ephesus church. Amen.
Amen.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to say? We're done a little early tonight. Yes, Deacon. Amen. Amen. Empowers us to know the word and understand the word. Praise God. Bishop said something a moment ago about the Apostle Paul, that he had information, but he didn't have revelation. And I think that is such a powerful insight, Bishop. Because like I said a few moments ago, it's not that we want a whole bunch of head knowledge, right? But we want to understand what it is that God is trying to say and do. And we can only do that through revelation, right? We can quote a bunch of scriptures, but how does that really truly apply to this situation or that situation? And so that's our prayer, right? That God, okay, you've showed us all of this, reveal to us what it means in our everyday life. Y'all know I'm real big on that. Because it don't mean nothing if we got it in here but don't have it at home.
Right?
I'm on
here.
Right? Right. Talking to your kids crazy and your husband crazy. It don't mean nothing in here if it doesn't translate into our everyday life. Amen. Amen. Because that's where people see us. That's where people see us. That's where it matters.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it's so beautiful because everywhere, if I have lunch or I meet with a friend, God is in the conversation. And I think that's so beautiful. I love that. And we were talking and I began to share how much that I could just see God's glory all over, you know, his face.
Wow.
And there was a young lady that was sitting in front of us, and he told me after the fact that she kind of looked around and had like this smirk on her face, like, what are y'all talking about? You know, that thing. And he was telling me how people will see us, and if you make a blunder or if we stumble or we fall, they go, I know they weren't. But that's how the world looks at us. But we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that we're not there yet because we are not perfect, we are striving for perfection. And it's just
this.
Mm-hmm.
And because what we do outside, that's really important.
Yes, yes.
You know, so it's a beautiful thing that you can do that outside of the realm or stuff that, you know, you don't have to wait till you come to church and talk about the goodness
mm-hmm.
of God or to show that
absolutely.
Oh,
yes. Absolutely.
And so I just wanted to share that because that was a blessing to me that sometimes people don't realize what a blessing they are to someone else.
Yes.
Like I was talking about Brother Willie back several months ago, how the glory that's
yes.
on him and yourself.
Well, praise
and
God.
It's just a blessing. You see that.
Yep.
It's just all over
yep.
the person.
Yep.
Persons, you know.
Amen.
So I just think it's beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Bishop, do you want to say anything before we close? You want to say anything?
I'm just thinking all these people who contributed to Paul's turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
We should never ever despise the place that God had put us in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes God will have you go talk to somebody totally out of your class.
Wow.
Ain't got nothing to do with that. Just obey God.
Wow.
Rather than fear men.
Wow.
I have this problem many times. I pastored in Kansas City and everybody that, you know, a lot of people came to me in the gathering, and all the preachers came. They were better preachers than I was, but it didn't offend me.
Mm.
You know, it's okay. I wanted them to do what they had to do because I'm just one spoke in the wheel, but that one spoke is holding up my part of the wheel.
Come on, Bishop.
So, you know, if God says something or speaks to your heart and look like it's totally out of your character or class, just obey God. Don't worry about it. All those people who contributed to Paul, they were necessary. Now, God could have told him all this by himself, but then if he does that, he don't need us.
That's right.
You know, we say, oh, no, I can't do that because Lord, tell God give you revelation or something about to give me. So, oh no, he's the bishop. I can't tell him that, you know. Forget that and just obey God.
Wow.
And this will help me to perfect whatever I've got to do.
Wow.
Without that little bit, that ain't much. That's just a word or two. That's fine.
Wow.
That might be the thing that God, that I'm struggling with and can't get over because you're afraid to say what God told you.
My God, Bishop. Wow.
Amen.
Now, y'all do realize that you don't get that everywhere. A pastor deputizing his people to bring things to him. You're not, I'm just for the record and for the recording. We have a jewel in the kingdom here in our bishop. We really, really do. I think we don't understand. But I've been some places. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. So I know the gift, the true gift of God that we have in our bishop. I really, really do. And I appreciate his humility. My goodness. Wasn't that powerful? He said, that thing that you have, you're afraid to release it, but it might be just the thing that needs to take us over. Wow. Praise God. All right. We're going to pray, guys. Thank you, God, for another opportunity to be in your presence, God. We thank you so much, God, that you were here, God. I know you were here. I feel your presence in this place, oh God. God, going from heart to heart and breast to breast, God, you are so good. Oh my God. People, God, I know this is Wednesday night, this is not Sunday, but I want us to make a little noise in here. I want us to clap our hands, and I want us to thank God for his goodness, for his mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your provision, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, God. Hallelujah, for revelation, oh God. Hallelujah, God. We've had many, many years, God, of Bible study and Sunday school and sermons, oh God. Hallelujah. Now, God, I believe, like Bishop is telling us, God, it's time to move into revelation so that we can then have manifestation. God, I thank you on today, oh God. God, that you haven't forgotten about us, oh God. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Even through the trials, even through the heartaches, even through the temptation, even through the stress. Hallelujah. You haven't forgotten about us, oh God. Right now, you might be talking to an Ananias, hallelujah, on the other side of Springfield to come talk to us. Hallelujah, God. I thank you, God. Hallelujah, for sending the one, glory to God, with the word that we need. Hallelujah, to take us over. Hallelujah. And once the word comes, oh God, God, once the word comes, oh God, that we might receive it. Hallelujah, with gladness and with joy. Hallelujah, receiving it as we receiving it from you, oh God. We thank you on tonight. For every household represented, God, I pray a blessing, glory to God. Hallelujah, health, hallelujah, peace in the name of Jesus. Wholeness, restoration, glory to God. Hallelujah, sweet sleep. Sweet rest, hallelujah, over each person in the name of Jesus. Restoring creative miracles in these bodies, oh God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. God, you are not a man that you should lie, hallelujah, or the son of man that you will repent, God. Have you not said, God, hallelujah, and will you not do, hallelujah, your word does not go out from you, God, and come back to you void, hallelujah, but it accomplishes, hallelujah, what you send it to do in the name of Jesus, God. So we thank you for sending the word on tonight. Glory to God. Sending the word on tonight. Hallelujah. For restoration. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for provision on tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you for the answers and the solutions. Hallelujah, those things that are locked up in Bishop's heart, God, that he hasn't even spoken out loud yet, oh God, hallelujah. Thank you for sending the solution and the word that he needs, God, that he's believing you for, God. Those nights, hallelujah, that he's been getting up every night for at two in the morning, God, seeking your face, God. I pray that you make it clear, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, God. And as you are doing that, you are preparing our hearts, hallelujah, to do what it is that you've called us to do as a part of the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Amen.